हरिः ओम् तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः. हरिः ओम् ॐ सदाशिवसमारम्भाम् तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः. हरिः ओम् सो लास्ट् क्लास् वि वर् अबौट् टु कन्क्लूड् दि घटभाष्यम् दि घटभाष्यम् the commentary of Shankaracharya making use of the pot, clay pot, is called Ghatabhashyam. Using that, Shankara Bhagavatpada only negates the views of Nayayikas and Kshanika Vijnanavadi, the Buddhist. So for Buddhist, for whom there is neither cause nor effect, neither the universe, nothing was there before, now also nothing is here. Whatever the world is only in our own thoughts, in the cognitions. And therefore, whatever the whole experience what we have is only in the cognitions. There's no real world exists outside. There's no world at all outside. I mean, outside of the sunyam, before the jagatasam was, nothing was there. But there is experience that is happening only in our mind, in the form of cognitions, and for which the vrittis come and go. Therefore, whenever the vrittis are there, consciousness also manifests. Therefore, for them, he mistakes the cognition for the consciousness, and he calls that cognition, any cognition is kshanikam, the vritti is kshanikam, I mean momentary. Before he takes the consciousness for him, is a kshanikam, which comes and goes. Therefore, nothing was there, nothing is there. In between, consciousness comes and keeps on floating. The fleeting consciousness. That's all it is there. Therefore, there's neither cause, there nothing was there before the universe. Nothing is here now also. That Shankaracharya, refuted. Very simple, it was simple for him to refute him, to say that there was already, without a cause, effect cannot be there. And second thing, the Nayayika, who accepts the existence of the cause, but who does not accept the existence of the effect. There wasn't effect before, the effect has come into existence newly. And for we saw that also, the effect was not there before, an effect has come newly, new creation. And for that also is negated by Shankaracharya. Cause also was there before, effect also was there before. And the cause and the effect, cause and the effect are not two different things. When the nama rupa karma, form, name and function were not manifest, what was cause. And the cause with the form, name and function alone is said to be effect. Therefore, everything was unmanifest and it becomes manifest. And for which there is a substrate, there is a support, there is an adhara, and which alone is said to be distinct from the cause and the effect. And that which is distinct from the cause and the effect is consciousness. So consciousness is neither the cause nor the effect. Whereas cause and effect both are mithya. Cause and effect both are mithya means cause is mithya, effect also is mithya. But cause and effect are nothing but the power of the reality only. The power of the reality unmanifest is called cause. Power of the reality manifest is called effect. And the power does not have independent existence. Therefore, power is mithya. The source of the power is satyam. This is what is made very clear. For that, he says, when you say, the pot has come into existence means before the pot originated, there was clay. And in that clay, the pot is nothing but form, name and function, which remained unmanifest. All that the pot maker do, the kulalaha, the pot maker, all that he does is he removes that which covers the form, name and function. The form, name and function remains covered in the clay itself. all that he does is he removes the what covers that form neman function, which means he only brings the form neman function which is already unmanifest into manifestation. That is why when you if the effect is something different, then it must exist even without the clay. Without the clay, the pot cannot exist. That is why Namarupa Karma alone, the unmanifest alone, is brought into manifestation. And that bringing the unmanifest into manifestation alone is said to be creation. Therefore, neither the clay is created, nor the pot is created. The clay alone is converted into pot, and which means some changes are brought about in the clay for the pot to become the, for the clay to become the pot. Therefore, effect also already existed. This is the view. But we will see that again separately. Now let us see what we have to see today. And here, if you see the mantra, the first Brahmana, second mantra. The whole of first mantra presented the first mantra and second mantra together constitute first Brahmana. And the two mantras are over. Second Brahmana. The second mantra, second Brahmana we have to read. At least the first Brahmanam has only two mantras. There we discussed, Upanishad presented the Ashva Upasanam. Ashva Upasanam. The second Upasanam we have to read. Let me make it clear again. I'm going to dictate, I send some notes for all of you after this Gatabhashya. I'll text you the notes. So it becomes much, when you go through again, it becomes clearer. So, Brahmana, second Brahmana. Naiveha kinchanagra asit. Nittu naiveda mavrutam asit. These two lines we learnt last class. Naiveha kinchana agra asit. Let me read first the first sentence number one. I'm going to be very slow. So, I wanted to get every sentence here. Naiva iha. Na yeva iha naiva iha naiveha. The two sandhis we can make out. What is naiva? Na yeva naiva vriddhi sandhi. Iva iha guna sandhi. Naiveha kinchana agre asit. Iha kinchana agre iha kinchana na asit yeva. This is the sentence. It means nothing whatsoever was here in the beginning. This is the translation of the first sentence. Nothing whatsoever was here in the beginning. Naiveha kinchanagra asit. Then, second sentence. Mrityuna eva idam avritam asit. Mrityuna eva idam avritam asit. Mrityuna eva mrityunaiva idam avritam asit. What does it mean? Idam, this, all this, this entire universe, all this was avritam asit. All this was covered by death. The word mrityu literally means what? Death. Therefore, we translate it as either all this was covered by death. But please understand, the word mrityuhu literally means death. Here, the death does not mean death. Okay? Death does not mean death. Literal meaning is death. Mrityuna eva idam sarvam avritam asit. So the word avritam literally means what? Covered. So idam, So idam is a third person singular pronoun, which means this entire universe, all this. The entire universe was covered by mrityu means. Mrityu stands for something which is existent, not non-existent. Mrityu, that by which something, everything is covered, stands for something. Something which is existent, not non-existent. Therefore, when you say that the very word mrityu implies what? Everything was covered by mrityu before. Means that which covers also is existent. An existent thing cannot cover a non-existent thing, isn't it? A non-existent thing cannot cover. A non-existent thing cannot be covered. What can cover? Okay, so you say something covers means that which covers also must be existent. That which is covered is also must be, that which is covered also must be existent. Therefore, when you say idam sarvam avritam asi, it means idam sarvam avritam. Idam is what? This universe. This universe was covered by mrityu means this universe was existent before. Is it clear? It was not non-existent. The idam stands for this universe. This universe was covered means a non-existent thing cannot be covered by something. Therefore, idam stands for universe. Universe was covered before means universe must have existed before. So universe was not non-existent. It was already there. Therefore, karyam, the effect in terms of universe also, has not been newly created. It was only unmanifest. Therefore, it was covered. And then the cause, so that which lends existence to the universe alone must be covering the universe. Therefore, that which covers also must be existent. That which is covered also must be existent. Therefore, the word asat should not be literally nothing was here means nothing existed before mean should not be taken as non-existent. What should we take it? Everything remained unmanifest. This is the meaning we should take. When before the universe came into manifestation, before the universe became manifest, the universe was unmanifest. The universe being unmanifest alone is said to be what? Non-existent. Nothing was there means all the forms, names and functions were not there before. Were not there means they remained unmanifest. They are covered by mrityu. This is the meaning of the verse. So what exactly is mrityu? Mrityu implies cause. See, the form, name and function called pot is covered by clay when you say, it's a cause. So mrityuhu implies the cause. And idam means karyam. Mrityuhu means karanam. Karanena karyam avritam asit. Idam stands for karyam. Mrityuhu stands for karanam. So mrityuna idam avritam asit means karanena karyam avritam asit. The effect was covered by the cause. That is the meaning. Effect was covered by the cause. Now, what exactly is the cause? That we will wait for some time. Okay. Therefore, the cause was existent. The effect was also existent, but the effect was unmanifest, covered, the effect remained covered in the cause. Just as ornament, the chain or bangle or ring remain unmanifest, covered, remains covered in the cause gold. The pot or any earthenware remains covered in its cause clay. Therefore, karanena karyam avritam asit, mrityunayeva idam avritam asit means Mrityu stands for cause, idam stands for the effect, the universe. Idam means this universe. Idam, one word, stands for the whole universe. Therefore, that which is not existent cannot be called an effect. That which is not existent cannot be called a cause also. Therefore, both existed before, but in unmanifest form. I mean, the effect was unmanifest in the very cause itself. And the cause itself remained unmanifest. The cause and the effect was, effect inseparably remained, was there with the cause. Cause itself was unmanifest. And the source of the cause is alone is said to be differently. In other points we say it is said to be Brahma or Atma. It is the meaning of the first sentence. Now, under with understanding, we are going to see what is exactly that cause. We'll see. Of course, finally we'll say Brahma. Now, the meaning of the word should not be taken as death. Okay? Mrityuhu means, you should take it as death. Literal meaning it is. We'll see that Mrityu stands for Ishvara, Karanam Brahma. We'll say that. Now, in this Upanishad, in the second section now, in the second Brahmana, the third sentence, if you take all the mantras, now here we have mantra number one, mantra number two, mantra number three, mantra number four, mantra number five. Okay, all these five mantras discuss the creation. All the five mantras discuss the creations. This is a big Upanishad. We need not know every sentence. All the mantras will be read out for you. Five mantras together. I'm going to give you the content of the five mantras. Okay? What we have the five mantras. So here, in this, the five mantras discuss the creation. But the creation is completely different from how the creation is presented in other Upanishads. And I've been telling you this in every Upanishad. However the creation is presented, we need not be bothered at all, because definitely there's no creation. And the creation is discussed only to establish what Brahman is, what the reality is. Here creation is completely somewhat very confusing. Creation is discussed here. And Shankara Bhagavatpada, what does he do? Somehow, all the words are given completely different. So for example, the word Mrityu is used. Mrityu literally means death. But here Mrityu is used in the sense of cause. And like that, all the words are completely given a different meaning. So Shankaracharya, he very carefully, what he does, he gives meanings for, he justifies the meanings of all the words, so that there won't be any confusion. And how here, before I tell you what it is presented here, in the five mantras, what is mentioned, let me tell you. There is Karanam Brahma first. It's a content. I mean, you content today, I can read all the five mantras fast, will be read out very quickly. See, there is Karanam Brahma. What is Karanam Brahma? Param Brahman alone is there as Karanam Brahma. First to understand, there is Param Brahma. Param Brahman alone, Param Brahma means absolute reality alone, is there as Karanam Brahma. What is Karanam Brahma? Karanam Brahma is the reality looked at with its creative power called Maya, is called Karanam Brahma. Absolute reality Param Brahma is looked upon as Karanam Brahma. How, when it's looked upon Karanam Brahma? Absolute reality Param Brahma looked at with its creative power called Maya is looked differently given a title as Karanam Brahma. The Karanam Brahma is also known as Karya Prapanchaha. Sorry, Karana Prapanchaha. Karanam Brahma is equal to Karana Prapanchaha. Karana Prapanchaha means the consciousness with its power of manifesting. This manifesting power, creative power called Maya is called what now? We say Brahman with its creative power called Maya is said to be Karanam Brahma. Karanam Brahma is called Karana Prapanchaha. So Karana Prapanchaha means the consciousness with unmanifest universe. Consciousness with unmanifest universe is called Karana Prapanchaha. Because universe does not have independent existence at all. Even though I use the term Karana Prapanchaha, what does it mean? Consciousness with unmanifest universe is Karana Prapanchaha, which otherwise called Karanam Brahma. What is Karanam Brahma? Reality with its power, Maya, is Karanam Brahma. This is how it is said to be what? Otherwise said to be Antaryami. So Karanam Brahma, Karana Prapanchaha, Antaryami, all three words are synonyms like. Hot, getting hot. Okay. So, if you must understand, then from this alone, from this Ishvara, how the Krishti begins, let me tell you. From this Karana, you can say Karana Ishvaraha. That is why there are some temples in India, we have Karana Perumal. The Perumal also called Karana Perumal. Vishnu is also called Karaneshwara. We own Karaneshwara Swami temple, Shivan temple is there. India. This Karana Prapanchaha, Karanam Brahma, Antaryami. All the three are the same. This Antaryami, in Puranic language, Shivaha. Okay, Shiva. Lord Shiva. Now, from this alone, what comes into manifestation first is Hiranyagarbha. So this Karana Prapanchaha, from Karanam Brahma, first comes into manifestation is Hiranyagarbha. Hiranyagarbha. So what is Hiranyagarbha? Now, Karya Prapanchaha. Karya Prapanchaha. Karya Prapanchaha means Hiranyagarbha also is nothing but same consciousness with subtle manifestation. So consciousness with unmanifest power is Karanam Brahma, Karana Prapanchaha, Antaryami. Now, the first what comes into manifestation is Hiranyagarbha. And Hiranyagarbha is means what? Hiranyagarbha is nothing but Sukshma Prapanchaha. First we said Karana Prapanchaha. So, Karanam Brahma is equal to Karana Prapanchaha. Karana Prapanchaha is Antaryami, I said. Now, Karyam Brahma. Karyam Brahma, first Karyam Brahma is Hiranyagarbha. What is Hiranyagarbha? Same consciousness with subtle manifestation. When I say with, not to, same consciousness with subtle manifest, with power manifest as subtle universe. Consciousness, this power manifest as subtle universe is Karyam Brahma, Hiranyagarbha. Hiranyagarbha, subtle universe. This is what first came into existence. Amazing. Bhagavat, all the Puranas also tell the same thing. First, who comes to manifestation is Hiranyagarbha. This Hiranyagarbha in the Puranic language is called Chaturmukha Brahma, 400 Brahma. Karyam Brahma. Then, first subtle universe has to come into existence. Only then, gross universe can come into existence. Then comes what? After the Hiranyagarbha, thereafter comes again Karyam Brahma. Again Karyam Brahma. What is Karyam Brahma? Second Karyam Brahma? Consciousness with Stola Prapanchaha. So first consciousness with Sukshma Prapanchaha is Hiranyagarbha. Consciousness with Stola Prapanchaha, grass universe, is Karyam Brahma number 2. It is called Virat. Now you can understand easily. First you have to see, let me again repeat it for you. Param Brahma means you look at pure consciousness with its power resolved. Just consciousness alone is said to be what? Param Brahma. Absolute reality. We do not talk about the power. Without talking about the power, you just say reality. Absolute reality, Param Brahma. Then you see what? This absolute reality has power, is endowed with the power, the inseparable power. Absolute reality is endowed with an inseparable power. When you look at it, same Param Brahma as the powerful reality, you give a different name as Karanam Brahma. Karanam Brahma is what? Karanam Brahman alone, we have to say Karana Prapanchaha. Causal universe. Causal universe, if you look at as Ishvara, is called what? Antaryami. Antaryami is called, in Puranas known as Shivaha. Got it? The next, afterwards, this reality with its unmanifest power manifest as subtle universe is called what? Karyam Brahma. You have to say what is only Brahma. Therefore, you have to use the term all the way Brahma. Karyam Brahma. Karyam Brahma number 1. So that Karyam Brahma means consciousness with its manifest, the power manifest as subtle universe. Sukshma Prapanchaha. So Karyam Brahma is equal to Sukshma Prapanchaha. What is Karyam Brahma Sukshma Prapanchaha? Hiranyagarbha. Hiranyagarbha. In Puranas, Brahma. Now next step. Karyam Brahma number 2. We have to talk about Karyam Brahma 2. Karyam Brahma means same Brahman with its power fully manifest as what? Stola Prapancha. Consciousness with grass universe. Stola Prapancha. Karyam Brahma number 2 is called Stola Prapancha. Stola Prapancha is called Virat. Finished. That's all. Nothing more to learn. Now, the Virat has come into existence from Hiranyagarbha. Virat has come into existence from Hiranyagarbha. And this Upanishad does not talk about Antaryami, does not talk about Karanam Brahma. Here, what is said here? Hiranyagarbha was there. It is simpler. Hiranyagarbha has come into existence from Karanam Brahma. Karyam Brahma number 1 has come into existence from Karanam Brahma. So all the way in Karanam Brahma number, Karam Brahma and Karyam Brahma number 1, Karyam Brahma number 2, in all the 3, Brahma, the word Brahman is used. What does it mean? Consciousness is there as the very non-arriving, non-departing, everlasting reality. As Parambrahma is consciousness. Reality. Without paying attention to this power. The same consciousness, you look at it as the powerful reality, you give a name, Karanam Brahma. Karanam Brahma, Karana Prapanchaha. Then everything is unmanifest, undifferentiated. As a consciousness with its power unmanifest is Karanam Brahma. Okay. Consciousness with its power unmanifest is Karanam Brahma, Karana Prapanchaha. Then consciousness with its power manifest as subtle universe is what? Hiranyagarbha. Same consciousness with its power fully manifest is called what? Virat. Partial manifestation, total manifestation. Unmanifest consciousness with unmanifest power. Consciousness with its power, partial manifestation of this power. Consciousness with its power totally, fully manifest. Consciousness with the fully manifest power. Consciousness with the partial manifestation of its power. Consciousness with its power unmanifest. That's all. All the three, all the way, what is there? Consciousness is one. Okay. That consciousness in which power is unmanifest and manifest is said to be absolute Brahma, Parambrahma, absolute reality. Now got the idea now? Understood? Yeah. So here in this Upanishad, how it presents the story, I tell you. Understood? The Srishti is discussed. First, the Hiranyagarbha has come into existence from Karanam Brahma, Antaryami. From Karanam Brahma, Karyam Brahma number one has come into existence. Means Hiranyagarbha has come into existence from Karanam Brahma, which means subtle universe, the Sukshma Prapancha is nothing but has come into existence. You have to understand, without subtle manifestation, there cannot be gross manifestation. How do you understand this? Let us understand first our own, how our thing works. The individual life, how it works. How it happens, we understand. See, only when your mind is functioning, when the mind is functional, only then all the powers can be functional. All dasha indriyani. To understand this, then we go to the lesson first. We have dasha indriyani, 10 powers, all 10 subtle powers. This life can be ascertained, life is established only when the 10 powers are functional. The 10 powers are non-functional, the life is as good as non-existent, isn't it? We can't call a person a living person. All the 10 powers must be functional. The 10 powers have to be functional. Why do you say only the 10 powers are functional? All your 5 sense organs are functioning. All your powers of organs are functional means the physical body can be active. Knowledge of the world can happen only when the 5 sense powers are functional. Perception can happen only when sense organs are functional. Only when the powers of organs of actions are functional, physical body can be active. If these 10 powers are non-functional, then no perception can take place. Physical body cannot be active. What is example? How to understand it? Example is your own deep sleep state. You see, we have to understand go further in the Upanishad. Very beautiful teaching. But takes time. So here, in deep sleep state, even though the person is still alive, still for the person who is asleep, the world doesn't exist. Isn't it true or not? For the person who is alive, for the person who is asleep, the world doesn't exist. Why the world doesn't exist for him? Because the world is not perceived by him. World is not perceived by him. Therefore, cognitions, the knowledge of the world does not happen for him. Therefore, there's no knowledge for the person that the world exists. But the person who is asleep does not have the knowledge of the existence of the world. The world exists, but what is not there is the knowledge of the existence of the world is not there for the person who is asleep. Is it clear? Why? Because there's no perception. Why there's no knowledge of the existence of the world? Because there are two reasons. First of all, the mind is not functional. Vrittis do not arise. Mind is non-functional. Vrittis are all resolved. All the thoughts are resolved. When all the thoughts resolve, mind is non-functional. Cognitions cannot happen. Because the sense organs themselves cannot be functional. All the sense powers also remain resolved. Therefore, there's no perception. There's no knowledge of the existence of the world. Therefore, the world is as good as non-existent for the person who is asleep. Now, not only that, the person cannot be active physically also. Not only the knowledge of the world does not happen, the physical body is completely like a dead body in sleep because physical body is not at all active. The hands do not move, legs do not move. See, you're moving something that is different. The person does not move his legs and hands consciously, does not walk. Okay, you have to become very conscious. However sleepy you are, drowsy you are, you must be conscious for you to get up and go to toilet also. Even in the midnight, if you happen to go, you must be conscious. You cannot go sleeping, won't go. You may be very sleepy and drowsy, but this consciousness must be there. But in sleep, when you're fast asleep, the body is as good as dead because all the powers of organs of actions are resolved. Then, when the thoughts are resolved, when there's no mind is not functional, there is no knowledge of the existence of the self also. When there is no knowledge of the existence of the self, when there's no knowledge of the existence of the world, when all the thoughts are resolved, I'm saying one by one, there's no knowledge of the existence of the self. There's no knowledge of the existence of the world. All the powers are resolved. Therefore, perception does not take place. And the body is also not active. No activities happen. Then the person is as good as dead in sleep. Not dead. As good as dead. Okay? Where is the external world for him? The external world or the world does not exist at all for a person who is asleep. This is called what we say, the entire gross universe, perceptible world is unmanifest for the person who is asleep. Is it clear? The gross universe, perceptible world is unmanifest for the person who is asleep. What does it word unmanifest mean? Unmanifest means when the world remains imperceptible, when the world is, remains, doesn't become absent, doesn't get destroyed, the world remains imperceptible, world remains unknown, the world is as good as non-existent for the person who is asleep, means the world is, when you can say the world remains unmanifest. Unmanifest means the world is not experienced, not enjoyed. The world is not available for his enjoyment, experience, objectification, perception, experience. It is what is said to be the world being unmanifest. Is it clear? The world is unmanifest. The gross universe is unmanifest for the person who is asleep. For the person who is alive, the world is manifest. Therefore, for the gross universe. What is gross universe? Perceptible world. The world of objects available for perception, sense perception, objectification, enjoyment, experience is called gross universe. Sthula prapanchaha. You see the gross earth, you see the gross space, you see gross air, you see all the gross elements and the gross elementals. Everything is gross because available for sense perception is called gross. What is sthulam? Sthulam means gross. Gross means anything available for sense perception is called sthulam. Okay, elements are gross, elementals are gross, and all the forms, names and name, function experience in the waking state, you say what? Gross, sthula prapanchaha. So sthula prapanchaha has to come into existence. Sthula prapancha becomes manifest only when there is already manifestation of sukshma prapancha. Is it clear now? In deep sleep state, what happens? The sukshma is also resolved. The sukshma is resolved. The sukshma must be functional. Only then sthulam can become manifest. So sukshma being manifest means what? Sukshma must be functional. The sukshma is non-functional. Sukshma is said to be unmanifest. Is it clear? The sukshma is said, not that one after the other. The sukshma is unmanifest, sthulam becomes unmanifest. The sukshma is manifest, then sthulam becomes manifest. So sthula prapancha is dependent on the sukshma prapancha. What is sukshma prapancha? Subtle universe. Subtle universe means totality of minds, totality of sense organs, totality of organs of actions. Put together is what? Sukshma prapancha. Of course, dream world is said to be sukshma prapancha. But dream world is something of subtle world which is experienced within your own mind is sukshma prapancha. But sukshma prapancha means the totality of this, the all the subtle aspects. What about your antakaranam? Your antakaranam, the sense organs, organs of actions, all these 11, okay? Ekadashi Indriyani. This Ekadashi Indriyani are main. And we add physiological functions later on. Physiological functions are okay. The functions. But the first of all, these 11 are very important. Jnanendriyani, Karmendriyani, Antahkarnam. Totally 11. These 11 organs, the 11 are nothing but powers. All subtle powers only. All of them remain. When they are non-functional, where do they go? When you say thoughts are resolved, mind is non-functional, mind is inactive, passive, all the powers are non-functional, where do they go? Where are they? All the 11 powers remain unmanifest in its source. They do not have existence outside of its source. So all the subtle powers remain resolved. You call it what? Karanam. Karanam. Then what is there? Consciousness alone is. The consciousness with its power. What is the power? Jnana Shakti, Kriya Shakti, Dravya Shakti. Jnana Shakti, Kriya Shakti, Dravya Shakti. The power of knowledge, power of activity, power of inertia. These three powers, we call three powers only when they manifest. The three powers are there. This consciousness is endowed with the power, and that power unmanifest is called Maya. You see, this Maya is not really separately there. Just the name is given. And that one power alone can become manifest as what? As power of knowledge, as power of activity, power of inertia. Kriya, jnana shakti, kriya shakti, dravya shakti. Inertia. Okay, later on we say what? When manifest, we say tamo, the jnana shakti, kriya shakti, icha shakti. Icha also is with the same kriya only. So these three powers means only one power. Only consciousness with this, its power is unmanifest. We called what? Ish karanam. Karanam Brahma. Okay? Brahman is given the title as Karanam Brahma because the power remains resolved, unmanifest. And with its power manifest as subtle powers. Where is the power? All the three powers are manifest in human mind. First of all, the Kriya Shakti, Jnana Shakti, Icha Shakti all have to become manifest. The powers manifest alone as we give different names in a human being. As mind, as sense powers, as powers of organs of actions. So these 11 organs are 11 powers are nothing but the only power of consciousness obtaining is in threefold forms as Jnana Shakti, Kriya Shakti, Dravya Shakti alone is there as 11 powers. When these 11 become manifest, they call sukshma. When they become manifest and they are functional, okay, they are functional, then stholam comes into existence. Is it clear? When the soul enters stholam remains unmanifest because sukshma remains unmanifest. Sukshma remains unmanifest means there's only unmanifest. The sukshma, stholam, both remain unmanifest in deep sleep state. Our deep sleep state is nidra. We say the totality we look at is as Ishvara. In Bhagavan's sleep is what? Yoga nidra. Okay, yoga maya. Yoga nidra, yoga maya. That means the unmanifest power. So this then we say everything is totally remains, everything remains resolved, unmanifest. Then everything remains resolved when no universe, subtle universe, no suksha, stura prapancha, no suksha prapancha. Means what does it mean? The power is still there. As with all the forms, names and functions, no, the whole jagat remains unmanifest means there's no world, nothing. So then what is there when the universe is not there also, when the sthula prapancham is not there, suksha prapancham is not there, means when it is not manifest. Not there means not non-existent. When the gross universe is unmanifest, hatla universe is unmanifest, what is what? What is pure knowledge, pure consciousness. That pure consciousness alone is said to be pure existence. Pure consciousness is said to be pure existence. When you say pure existence, what does it mean? Knowledge of existence without any form, name and function. How can we understand that? We cannot even understand because what happens in Mahapralaya? When the Mahapralayam happens, how does the universe remain? You cannot know that. That is why you have to analyze your own deep sleep state. How you are in deep sleep state. Exactly. How you are just yourself in sleep. You are without your own knowledge of your existence, without any identity also. In sleep, you have no identity. No identity. Please think well. It's very interesting to know. You do not have any identity in sleep. You have no identity means where is the relationship? Where is the connections? You do not connect yourself with the world. Connect with it. No identity means no relationship, no possession. There's no aham bhavaha. There's no mama bhavaha. Two things. First of all, you must have identity to have what now? To know you are, you must know you are to have aham bhavaha. Isn't it? I am. Then you can have a mama bhavaha. Once you know you are, then you can talk about my husband, my wife, my children, my family, my relatives and my house, my car, my work. You can talk about my can come into existence only when there's I am. Amazing. Isn't it? You are just yourself. For you to be free, you have to just be by your, just by yourself. If you are yourself means you have no identity. Okay? You have no identity. When you are without any identity, what are you? When you are without any identity, what are you? You are just yourself. Suppose when there is no wave, all the waves remain resolved. What is there then? Only water. Water, 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 only water. Similarly, in Mahapralaya, what is only consciousness. Universe exists or not? Universe does exist. But how does the universe remain? Universe remains unmanifest. Unmanifest universe should not be mistaken for non-existent universe. Is it clear? That is why naiveha kinchanasit. You have to say so much to understand. Naiveha kinchanasit. Nothing existed before. That one sentence I have to tell you, two classes. Naiveha kinchanasit means you should not mistake. Unmanifest universe should not be mistaken for non-existent universe. Okay? When universe is unmanifest, the universe is as good as non-existent because it is not available for experience and enjoyment. Upanishads uses the word what? Iha naiva kinchid asit. Is it clear? See, without using your own deep sleep state experience as the window, you have to see what would be the Mahapralaya. That is why if you repeatedly listening, understand, nothing happens for me in sleep. I'm perfectly all right. Nothing happens for me in sleep. Nothing happens for me in sleep. You repeatedly seeing will give a person all the strength, fearlessness to accept the death. You know what happens? In death, you will be exactly like how you are in sleep. Nothing happens to you. So also in Mahapraya, nothing happens to you. The whole division, the notion of division comes only because of the identity. Identity and also identity is because of the upadis. The upadis, the body, mind, the sense, okay, the sthulam and the sukshmam. Minus sthulam and sukshmam, what is there? Just the consciousness, which doesn't come and go. So here Shastram says, universe is unmanifest means, being unmanifest means being not being available for non-recognizable. Universe is not recognized. When the universe is non-recognized universe is unmanifest universe. Non-recognizable universe, non-recognizability should not be mistaken for non-existence. That is the problem. Okay? Suppose what do you say? When you fall asleep, universe, there's no universe. But because next day you wake up, you see the previous day what you saw, you see the next day also in everyday sleep. There's a pratyabhijna. There is a recognition. Therefore, you think the universe existed. You don't deny the existence of the universe. Yesterday the universe was. The same universe is today also. Even though I fell asleep, the universe was as good as non-existent, but I can recognize the chair which I saw yesterday, the door which I saw yesterday, the people whom I saw yesterday, I see today. Therefore, the world is existent. The sun I see next day morning, very quickly wake up. Therefore, this pratyabhijna recognition is possible. Therefore, you understand the existence, continuous existence of the universe, every day in sleep. Recognition is there. Because memory helps you. What you saw yesterday, you remember. So you're able to recollect your memory. And recognition is possible. But after the death, when you come back, you are not able to, the world is as though new for you. Because you passed what you experienced in the previous life, you forget. Therefore, it looks as the new life. Really speaking, the universe is not at all created, means nothing is created, everything remains unmanifest. The universe remaining unmanifest means the universe remaining unrecognized. Universe remaining unrecognized means all entire sukshma remaining dissolved. The sukshma being resolved. The sukshma being resolved means what? Only cause alone, only reality alone is there. There is an order involved in that. When, how, why it becomes manifest. It means the manifestation is important. That is why kalaha, time factors, we said, look with time factors, Bhagavan. There is a time when it becomes manifest. By whose order? By, again, this order is not outside of the reality. The time it comes becomes manifest. When there's manifestation, then the sukshma comes first, then the stulam comes. Always the existence of stulam presupposes the existence of sukshma. The existence of sukshma presupposes the unmanifest power of reality. Is it clear now? The existence of sthulam presupposes the existence of the sukshma. Without your mind and sense organs, 11 factors functioning, sthulam will be absent. Not nice, think nicely. 100 times you think about it. In the 11 samacharangal, the 11 subtle factors, if they're non-functional, if they're not there, means you have no way of understanding the whole jagat. The stula prapancha completely will be non-existent for you without these 11 factors. Bhagavan may understand by analyzing our own deep sleep state. Analyze your deep sleep state, repeatedly see subtle 5-10 powers, all the 10 powers, and the antakarana completely remains resolved. The mind has to function for all the powers to become manifest. Minus 10 powers, there's your own body is not there. Then your physical body is part of the total gross universe. Your physical body is part of the total gross universe. Like how one wave is part of the whole ocean, your physical body is part of the whole gross universe, the gross world, the world of gross objects. So the gross universe doesn't exist for you, means it is unmanifest. For it to become manifest, thereby for you to say the world is. When the world becomes manifest, you say the world is. When the world becomes unmanifest, you say the world is not. The world is not, does it mean the world is non-existent? No. The world is not means the world is unmanifest. The world is non-recognizable. Non-recognizable world is said to be unmanifest world or is a non-existent world. It is not really non-existent. Is it clear? When the world becomes manifest, it is recognizable is said to be manifest world. The manifest world is said to be existent world. So the word existent and non-existent are loosely used to mean what? Unmanifest is taken to be non-existent, is said to be a non-existent world. Manifest is said to be existent world. Really speaking, there's no such thing called non-existence at all. For this unmanifest gross universe, sthula prapanchaha, to become manifest, to have the status of being existent, it must become what? So it is dependent on sukshma. Subtle factors. So this sthula, we say sukshma prapanchaha. సూక్ష్మ ప్రపంచం. ద సూక్ష్మ ప్రపంచ ఆల్సో ఫర్ ఇట్ టు బికమ్ మేనిఫెస్ట్ టు బి ఎగ్జిస్టెంట్ టు హ్యావ్ ద స్టేటస్ ఆఫ్ బీయింగ్ ఎగ్జిస్టెంట్ టు బి ఫంక్షనల్ సూక్ష్మ ప్రపంచ ఆల్ ఫంక్షన్స్ ఆల్ ఫంక్షన్స్ కాన్స్టిట్యూట్ సూక్ష్మ. ఆల్ ఫంక్షన్స్ ఆల్సో రిమైన్ రిసాల్వ్డ్ వెన్ ద రిమైన్ రిసాల్వ్ వేర్ డు ద రిమైన్ రిసాల్వ్ దే కమ్ బ్యాక్ దే కమ్ బ్యాక్ come back, they go and come back, they come back. If they don't come back, universe will not come back. If they come back, universe comes back. So stulam is dependent on sukshma. And the sukshma remains where? That is where nothing is created. The sukshma also is not created newly. Stulam is not created newly. And the sukshma remains resolved where? That is what the whole Shastra teaching is. You discover here the Sukshma. When the Sukshma is not there also, thank God, experience is still there. When the Sukshma is non-functional, Sukshma is as good as non-existent. When the mind is non-functional, when the sense organs are not functional, the organs of actions are not functional, the whole Sukshma is as good as non-existent. There's no jealousy, there's no hatred, no anger, no fear, no cognition, no recognition, no experience, no perception, no notions, no thoughts, no worry, no pain, no pleasure, no perception, nothing is there. Still experience is there. Thank God. It is that experience which helps you arrive at what is that which alone is, even when these powers are all non-functional. Even when these functions are not happening. So when the Sukshma also is unmanifest. When the Sukshma is unmanifest means the functions are not there. Okay, non-functional. Why non-functional? They need consciousness, sentiency to become functional. Why? Powers, where do the powers go? They don't go anywhere. The powers are very much there. But still, powers also not created. All the powers are already there, always there. But why they're not functional? There's a time. The time factor is involved. That is how time factor comes into the picture. Kalaha. There's a time they're functional, there's a time they are not functional. And the Sukshma also is not created. It remains only unmanifest. The Sukshma is not functional. We say Sukshma is also unmanifest. Unmanifest does not mean non-existent. It's as good as non-existent. As though you don't have mind in sleep. As though you don't have sense organs. Does your seeing power exist in sleep? It is. But it is not as good as non-existent. Your power of hearing is there or not in sleep. It is as good as non-existent. When you are sleeping, you do not know they are there. But they are unmanifest. So being unmanifest means being non-functional, being non-recognizable. Therefore, it's not non-existent. The time factor is involved there. The time factor, there's a time they become functional. And for them to be able to become functional, then there's a order is involved, functional, and thereby for the external world to become manifest. So stulam is dependent on sukshma. Gross universe is dependent on subtle manifestation. For its existence to come into, for us to be manifest, to have a status of being existent. And now, what is that which lends existence for even the Sukshma? If you say, it is the power of knowing. It is the power of knowing is said to be nature of knowing. What is that? What is that which is there? The only way of understanding there is something which is there knowing, experiencing. and not by an action, by its very nature. Knowing the absence. Absence means what? Knowing the absence of thoughts, knowing the absence of experience. There is an experience of the absence of experience. An experience of the absence of experience of the world, isn't it? That experience is the beautiful thing for us. And that experience is possible, and that experience is, you are able to recollect. Therefore, the deep sleeps are amazing. It helps you a lot. Sthulam is unmanifest. Sukshmam is unmanifest. You are just yourself without any identity. The upadhis are all sthula upadhi, sukshma upadhi, all the upadhis are not there. And how are you? You are just yourself. What happens to you? Nothing happens to you. That is why you are absolutely indestructible. And that you are formless, abstract consciousness. That you are abstract, formless reality. You are just the formless reality, and which is of the nature of knowing. You arrive at the reality in terms of its nature of knowing. It is the formless, abstract reality which you arrive at in terms of its nature of knowing, as that which is there experiencing the absence of experience. Okay, by its mere presence, by its mere nature. That alone has to be seen as the true essential nature of the individual. Is it clear? What an individual is essentially. Why I told you this story, please understand. Because in this, now next, I have to read 5 mantras. I read the first 2 lines. Therefore, idam mrityunayeva idam avrutam asit means the whole effect was covered by its cause. Which means, now what is the karanam, what is the karyam? This power of knowledge, the power of knowledge alone is the cause, is as good as the cause. The world of objects, the world available as object of experience, in terms of subtle and gross, we say, is as good as the effect. When the power of reality is unmanifest, the power of knowing is unmanifest, the whole world is what? Unmanifest. Unmanifest means not available for recognition. Therefore, it remained covered by the cause. Means cause covers. So it is not available. So anyway, this universe, we say the gross universe, subtle universe, gross universe also is a product of gross matter, gross elements, the gross elementals. Subtle universe also nothing but subtle matter. The known, subtle and gross, all are objects of consciousness. Subtle universe also, subtle thoughts are all objects of consciousness. Okay, I don't want to say object of knowledge, object of consciousness. That every opaque thing is object of illumination, object of light. Is it clear? Every opaque thing is an object of light, an object of illumination. Similarly, anything known is object of consciousness. Your mind is object of consciousness. Every thought is object of consciousness. Your sense powers are objects of consciousness. the whole Jagat is an object of consciousness. Elements and elements are all objects of consciousness. And this, the entirety object of consciousness is material product, subtle or gross, matter. Known, anything known is matter, and matter is of nature of inertness. Inertness in the sense it does not have consciousness of its own, sentiency of its own. That is why there's one book where one Maharishi said, Olivil Odukkam. You know, the whole world of material, world of elements, the elementals, just shines in the light of consciousness. Light of consciousness. The only problem is the time factor is involved, is order involved. When, how the power of reality remains manifest and unmanifest. For which there's an order involved. That order also is not outside of Ishvara. And finally, you have to say everything is not even I. Aham Brahmasmi means what? All that is as only Brahma. Jagat is Brahma, Ishvara is Brahma, Aham Brahmasmi. This vision has to become very clear. Here, what is indestructible? What is destructible? Atma, Brahman is absolutely indestructible. Jagat, the material objective universe. You reduce everything into two. The objective universe, subtle and gross, all material known is relatively subject to change, subject to relative destruction, but not absolutely destructible. Not created, not destroyed. Consciousness is absolutely indestructible. Here, what should we take as I? Which is I here? Where is I here? Absolutely, if it is called objective analysis, okay? Analyzing what is objectively without involving oneself. Just what is. This what is, all that is here is only this. So matter is relatively subject to change, which is called relative destruction. Consciousness is absolutely indestructible. Matter is relatively destructible. It means but a change. There's nothing called absolute destruction of anything. Therefore, there's no such a thing called non-existence at all. And an illiterate devotee, jnani devotee, Nandanar says, illama endra ondru illai. I love that song. That is what vision. Jnani, why do you say him? To have such a clarity. There is no such thing called non-existence. He was a cobbler. But vision was such great. Not academic education, but claret vision or such. He sings, no, there's no non-existence at all. Very fact. So here, that is why the first word of the second Brahmanam begins like what? Now, Srishti has to be discussed. My God. To discuss the Srishti, I have to tell you this much, okay? To present the Srishti before even going, now you must know what is Karanam Brahma, Karyam Brahma. Karanam Brahma, Karyam Brahma number one, Karyam Brahma number two. Karanam Brahma is Karana Prapancha. Karyam Brahma is, one is Sukshma Prapancha. Karyam Brahma number two is Stula Prapancha. And here we say all the three are what we say. Ishvara, the Lord. Okay, Ishvara is a status attributed. Karanam Brahma, Karana Prapancha is Antaryami. Karyam Brahma, Karya Prapancha, Karyam Brahma, Karya Prapancha, Sukshma Prapancha. Karyam Brahma number one is Sukshma Prapancha, Hiranyagarbha. Karyam Brahma number two is Thula Prapancha, Virat. Where is Jagat? Where is the universe? There's no universe. Virat is Ishvara. Hiranyagarbha is Ishvara. Antaryami is Ishvara. Three names of the only Bhagavan. There's no Jagat at all. There's no Jagat. It's only Bhagavan. This is how Upanishad presents the teaching. Therefore, naiveha kinchana asit means, does not mean nothing was here. Does not mean non-existence. The all, the sthula prapancha, suksha prapancha, everything was unmanifest. Of unmanifest because the subtle and gross universe was unmanifest. Not there means unmanifest. It was as good as non-existent. And where were they? They all remain covered by the cause. Covered by the cause. What is cause here? That which lends existence is the cause. That which borrows existence is the effect. Therefore, sukshma, sthula, prapanchas, subtle and gross universes are as good as effects. And Brahma Shakti, which lends the power of, or which lends existence to this gross and subtle, is said to be cause. As good as the cause. Therefore, it remained covered by its cause. Mrityuna eva idam sarvam avritam asit. Is it clear? Mrityuna eva idam sarvam avritam asit. This is said. But in this Upanishad, how the teaching begins here, it is said, from Ishvara, Antaryamishvara, Hiranyagarbha came into existence. That is, we're going to see later. And this Hiranyagarbha alone is the Srishtikarta. Hiranyagarbha creates. That is how the teaching begins here. We are going to see that. In the five mantras, if we take, the Hiranyagarbha created. And for which the Hiranyagarbha is given completely different names. And the Srishti is presented very differently. We should not take Srishti seriously. Okay? The concepts must be very clear. What is Hiranyagarbha, Karyam Brahma, etc. must be very clear. That's all enough. Don't take it. The creation what Upanishad presents is not real. Not real means, yes, they presented. It's not seriously. It's only prakriya, methodology. It doesn't establish the existence, the creation of the universe. The universe is not created at all. Okay. Now, how it presents? From Hiranyagarbha, mantra is going to say, the Hiranyagarbha becomes, from Hiranyagarbha, three factors come into existence. Hiranyagarbha himself becomes manifest as three things. What are the three things? Let me tell you. Now, because the sthula prapancha is dependent on suksha prapancha to come into existence, suksha prapancha is what? Hiranyagarbha. Sthula prapancha is Virat. So Virat is dependent on Hiranyagarbha. So Virat is the karyam. Hiranyagarbha is the karanam. You take it that way. Hiranyagarbha is the karanam. Virat is the karyam. Is it clear now? Even though we say both are karyams, in the standpoint of Hiranyagarbha, Virat is karyam. Now Idam stands for Virat. And Mrityu stands for Hiranyagarbha. Is it clear? Idam Mrityuna avritam means this universe effect is covered by the cause means Mrityu stands for Hiranyagarbha. Is it clear now? That's why I had to tell you, take so long to explain this to you. Mrityu stands for Hiranyagarbha. Mrityu does not mean death here. Mrityu stands for Hiranyagarbha. It is Hiranyagarbha is as good as the cause and Virat is as good as the effect. What is Virat? Sthula prapancha. What is Hiranyagarbha? Suksha prapancha. Not mere prapancha. consciousness manifests as the subtle universe is Hiranyagarbha. Consciousness manifests as the gross universe is Virat. Therefore, here cause and effect, okay, both are not outside of the consciousness. Without consciousness, there cannot be Hiranyagarbha or Virat. There cannot be cause and effect. But Hiranyagarbha consciousness is distinct. But the consciousness is neither Hiranyagarbha nor Virat. But both Hiranyagarbha and Virat are consciousness only. Therefore, the Hiranyagarbha is meant by the expression Mrityuhu. Therefore, it was the whole gross universe was covered by Hiranyagarbha, known as Mrityu. Idam stands for Virat, Mrityu stands for Hiranyagarbha. Okay, now the Upanishad, if you take the of the month, first the five mantras, you have seen the first two sentences. The rest of the sentences of the whole mantras, we need to understand this Virat has to come into existence first. Is it? What all did Hiranyagarbha create? That is said here first. To understand. What all did Hiranyagarbha create? There's a list of things are given in the mantras. One, two, three, and the third mantra, you're going to see Virat Upasana. So before we go to the main topic of Virat Upasana, we are going to invoke the Virat upon the Agni, that we'll see later on. What all did Hiranyagarbha create? Let me tell you. First, Manaha. Don't see the order. Manaha. Manaha means Samashti Buddhihi. Samashti Manaha, the cosmic mind, total mind, first. Don't take it very seriously. Just it is Supreme Presence. Hiranyagarbha, okay? Samashti Manaha. Then, grass water. Then, grass universe, the grass earth, gross earth, gross water, then total mind, first total mind, and fourth one. Then you can call it Virat. Just the name, names are given, don't take it seriously, Virat. Then sun, gross water, gross earth, then Virat, then sun. Then all the words, names of forms, called names of forms in terms of words. Then after the words, Vedas, Trayi, Veda Trayi, okay, Vedas. Then Yajnas, the rituals. Then a human being, and human being. Then animals. These are 10 factors, okay? Upanishad states Hiranyagarbha created all these 10. That's why treatment, don't take it seriously. Upanishad presents this 10. Hiranyagarbha created all the 10. So I can repeat it. Manaha, mind. Gross water. Gross earth. Virat. Sun. Names in terms of sounds. Vedas. Rituals, yajnas, human beings, and animals. So 10 factors. So Hiranyagarbha created this 10. And who is Hiranyagarbha? Hiranyagarbha, known by the expression Mrityuhu, created all the 10. Means all these 10 factors came into existence when they were born of Hiranyagarbha. Is it clear now? So you can be very happy by reading, breaking your head by reading 4 mantras. This is what you have to understand. I have covered the teaching of 4 mantras. Okay? 4 mantras. First 4 mantras of the 2nd Brahmanam present this fact that there is Hiranyagarbha, and Hiranyagarbha, from Hiranyagarbha originated all these 10 factors. This is not the exact order. It is only Srishti Prakriya. Prakriya means you should not take it seriously. Is it clear? Already you have been given a very strong understanding. There's no creation at all. But Srishti is analyzed for understanding Brahman. And in this Upanishad, how begins? We are not talking about Antaryami at all. It's all implied. It's all adhyahritam. Okay? Straight away, Mrityunaye vaidam sarvam asit. Avritam asit means what? The whole gross universe remained covered by Mrityu. Who is Mrityu? Karanam. Who is the Karanam? Hiranyagarbha. What all came into existence from Hiranyagarbha? So Upanishad gives a list of things. Is it clear? The 10 factors. Manaha, mind, mean the cosmic mind, samashti manaha, the total mind, gross water, gross earth, virat, sun, names in terms of words, 3 Vedas, yajnas, human beings, and animals. All of them came into existence. They're all born out of Hiranyagarbha, who is indicated by the term Mrityuhu. Okay, this is what is said in the 4 mantras of the 2nd Brahmanam. Is it clear? Okay. When I read the mantras, I won't tell the meanings. I won't tell the meanings. I can just go ahead with that. Then afterwards, there again. Now, but only the 3rd mantra alone, we will take it specifically and see what it is. You know why? Because the 3rd mantra presents the teaching differently. Differently means what? 3rd mantra is important for us. Why? Because the 3rd mantra, we need to understand the Upasanam. Which Upasanam? Virad Upasanam. The 3rd mantra, we need to understand. The 3rd mantra states this, that Hiranyagarbha became 3 factors. Hiranyagarbha became 3, I'm getting so slowly so you can make it. Hiranyagarbha became 3 factors. 3 factors in terms of Agnihi, Vayuhu, Adityaha. Agnihi, Vayuhu, Adityaha. The 3rd mantra states. Is it clear? One Hiranyagarbha became 3. As what? Agnihi, Vayuhu, Adityaha. Now who? All the 3 are what? Aditya only. The Hiranyagarbha only. Then afterwards, the Agnihi, Vayuhu, Suryaha, or Adityaha. Okay. Here again we will leave Aditya, we will leave Vayu. we will focus only on Agni. Why we have to focus only on Agni? Because Agni Upasanam is prescribed. We have to understand Agni Upasanam. Okay. And the same, now, this Hiranyagarbha, who became three factors, one of the three factors is Agnihi. This Hiranyagarbha, who is in the form of Agni, is given two different names. Hiranyagarbha, who is in the form of Agnihi, is it clear? Please remember, Hiranyagarbha became three factors. Vayuhu, Agnihi, Adityaha. There again, Hiranyagarbha, who is in the form of Agni, is given two different names, two different qualifications, big titles. One is Arkaha, Arkaha, and Apratishtitaha, Arkaha and Apratishtitaha. Arkaha and Apratishtitaha. Therefore, you must remember, Hiranyagarbha, the universe is not created by Hiranyagarbha. This Upanishad states, Hiranyagarbha did not sit and create the universe. Hiranyagarbha was there. Hiranyagarbha was thinking. Okay? Once Hiranyagarbha was involved in his own thinking. And when he was thinking, he had self-admiration. Hiranyagarbha had a self-admiration that he is capable of creating the universe. Hiranyagarbha was admiring his own capacity to create. When he had self-admiration, the Hiranyagarbha self-admiration itself created, contributed for his becoming three factors. Hiranyagarbha's self-admiration of his capacity to create itself contributed for Hiranyagarbha becoming three factors. He did not create it. This is what Upanishad says. Hiranyagarbha was thinking, oh, how nice it is. I'm endowed with this, all these powers. He was thinking, it seems. It's called self-admiration, self-glorification. When he was involved in his own self-admiration, then he became three factors as Sun, Adityaha, Agnihi, and Vayuhu. And here, the word water. Okay, this much remember today. So Hiranyagarbha did not physically create anything. Hiranyagarbha had this self-admiration, self-glorification that he is endowed with the capacity to create. That when he was glorifying himself, in his self-admiration itself, he became three. He became three factors. Adityaha, Vayuhu, and Agnihi. And as Agni, he has two names. One name is Arkaha, another name is Apratishtitaha. Pratishtitaha. Pratishtitaha. Opposite is apratishtitaha. Tishtati. Not tishtati. Pratishtati. Like that. Pratishtita. Pratishtita. Apratishtita. Is it clear? So remember this now. For this class. Now only we have actually come to the class. Until now we are not in the class. Only now actually coming to the Upanishad line. It took so long to come to this point. Only the Ghatabhasha contents I'll send you. I'll make a note and send it to you. It'll become easy for you to follow. And how the person is the creation here. So already we need to understand that there is Antaryamishwara, which is not mentioned here. Straight away Upanishad says, Stula Prapancha came into existence from Sukshma Prapancha. Virat has originated from Hiranyagarbha. Okay? So Hiranyagarbha is the cause, Virat is the effect. We are not talking about the Karana Prapancha at all. And now, this Hiranyagarbha is admiring his own capacity in without doing anything physically. Mere thinking itself contributed for Hiranyagarbha becoming three factors. And of these three factors, we leave the Vayu, we leave the Aditya, we only take the Agni part. This Agni alone, Hiranyagarbha, who is in the name of Agni, is given two different names, two different qualifications, titles, as what? Arkaha and Apratishthitaha. Why these two names are given? There afterwards, we are going to see how Agni has to be taken as an alambanam for the whole Virat. Is it clear? We must see Agni as the alambanam for the whole Virat. How before we saw in the first Brahmanam, we saw how the horse's back, front, middle, legs, hooves, everything stands for something in the universe, isn't it? Like that, we are going to see Agni also. Agni's, when the flame, the top part, middle part, lower part, how the whole Agni symbolizes the entire Virat universe. That we have to see. And so I know exactly what I'm stopping now. So I will remember exactly where I have to start. So Agni is given two different titles, Arkaha, Apratishthitaha. Thereafterwards, I'll continue next class. Today what you have to remember, Param Brahma, Karanam Brahma, Karya Prapanchaha, Antaryami, Hiranyagarbha, Sukshma Prapanchaha, Karyam Brahma, Sukshma Prapanchaha, Hiranyagarbha, Karyam Brahma, Stula Prapanchaha, Virat. This much you must remember. And here we are not thinking of Karanam Brahma at all here. Here, straight away, Hiranyagarbha becomes the cause, Virat becomes the effect. Karya, so Sukshma Prapancha is the Karanam, Stula Prapancha is the Karyam. And Hiranyagarbha is meant by the expression Mrityu. By Mrityu Hiranyagarbha, the Virat is covered. Is it clear? And Hiranyagarbha is thinking of his own capacity that he is able to create. The thinking itself created what? Cause contributed for his becoming three aspects, three factors. So first Hiranyagarbha becomes three, as three factors. Then how everything becomes created, we'll see that. And I told you this, the 10 factors which all Hiranyagarbha created. From the mind came, soul of water came, earth came. So there's no reason why this is presented like this. There's no reason. Now we have to think about this Agni. I'll stick to you next class. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate. Om Shanti 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 Harihi Om Tat Sat Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om.